As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
What up? What's happening? Lynnell Willingham, Toby Altizer are here with you on B. Mitch in Finley right here on the Fan. We're always live and free on the Odyssey app as well. Giving away Caps tickets once an hour, so make sure you keep it locked on the Fan all day long for that. Do that starting at 10:20, 11:20, 12:20, 1:20, all the way up until 5 o'clock. So make sure you keep it locked on the Fan all day long to get a pair of tickets we're giving away, Landfill. Pair of tickets to go see the Caps and their opening round playoff series starting Monday against the Canadiens. Toby, what's going on, brother, man?
What's going on, man? It's great to be here. Always great to fill in on a Friday. Excited. Going to get off at 2 o'clock today. Head over to Baltimore. Watch a little baseball tonight because doesn't seem like the Nats are going to play.
Well, yeah.
Colorado, very snow in the forecast. Yeah. You know what? I can't tell if this is a good thing or a bad thing for the Nats. They did not look good in their two series on the road.
No, they have not.
And Colorado is the worst team in baseball right now. I can't tell if the reset is good or bad because maybe they need to face Colorado right now.
Yeah, it's always good to have a bounce back series, so to speak. But think about, this is what's so great about baseball season, I think. You can look at it in so many different stretches because I think coming out of that Dodgers series, the feeling around this team was a heck of a lot different than what it is right now. The bats have kind of gotten cold here again, something that was a real issue all of last year. The injury slowly but surely.
Since 2019, by the way.
Well, yeah. The injury slowly but surely beginning to pile up for the group as well. So it's going to be interesting. We'll get your thoughts on the suspension. The suspensions.
Bull crap, by the way.
Really?
Yeah.
That's your early gauge on it?
Yeah, real quick, though, I wanted to check in with Landfill. I know this is early to check in with Landfill, but I wanted to check in. His boy was on the mound the other day, Patrick Corbin, and he pitched well. He pitched well for the Rangers, went 5 1/3, gave up just one run. But I need to know what Landfill's thoughts are because Patrick Corbin almost didn't make this start, Lynnell, because he was bit by a venomous spider before his start and was almost unable to walk in the clubhouse. So, Landfill, is Patrick Corbin now Spider-Man?
He might be. Maybe that was the secret.
Yeah, he doesn't need the sticky stuff anymore on the mound because he's Spider-Man.
Well,
he's got he's going to have even better breaking stuff now, regardless.
Spin rate. Get that spin rate up.
That's how you do it right there. Who turn into Spider-Man.
Yeah, who doesn't love high spin rates?
I would love for some Nats pitchers to have some good spin rates. Be a little more effective.
Make sure you keep it locked, like we said, all day long here on 106.7 The Fan. We're giving away Caps Game 1 tickets today every hour at 20 minutes past the hour until 5 o'clock. Be caller number 9 to 800-636. Okay. All right. We go from that to this. We're pivoting.
Let's pivot.
Let's talk about the Caps. So I was listening earlier on the way in as the Junks were talking about, do you want Charlie Lindgren in that or do you want Logan Thompson in that? And I think the way, first of all, I'm glad that we can, and this is going to sound very snarky of me, I'm glad we can get back to the hockey. I'm glad the chase is over. I'm glad regular season's now done. Ovi lit the lamp once again last night for goal number 897. But they lost, Toby. 5-2 loss against Pittsburgh team that's not very good. They're not playing their best hockey going into the postseason. I think we can all agree with that. Another, just like we talked about with the Nationals, injuries kind of starting to mount up for this group as well. But I think going into the postseason at home, knowing the type of environment that we're going to have Monday night at Cap One, how easy is it for you to put the failures of the past 2-3 weeks behind them? Because if you're looking at this thing from a big picture standpoint, their offense, hot, one of the best in all of the NHL, averaging the second most goals per game. Defensively, when Logan Thompson is in net, they are one of the more formidable defenses in all of hockey. Can they put the struggles of the past couple of weeks behind them?
I would think that they can, but I don't know how easy it is to flip a switch like so many people are expecting, right?
For sure.
And I think a lot of people have brought this up. That's why there is concern going into this playoff series. It's one thing to go in and you're hobbling into the playoffs like they were last year, and really the expectations were nothing, and then they found a way in, and it's like they get bounced in a sweep, and it is what it is. It's disappointing, but kind of is what it is. You're the one seed in the Eastern Conference. Yeah. There's no low expectations here.
Not at all.
You have to at least win this series, maybe even get to the Eastern Conference Finals to feel like you have accomplished what you needed to accomplish. And so I don't know how easy it is to flip the switch. Like, if you go back and one of the last couple of games they had where, you know, they were able to score 4 goals in the second period against the Hurricanes, or 3 goals in the second period.
You see these offensive flurries.
Yeah, like a couple of games ago, like you see them at times look really, really good, like the team we saw all year. And then you've seen them at times go back to the team we saw down the stretch that was not in a rhythm and struggling. Like, you watched last night, and I understand that they didn't have their A-plus goaltender in net, and I understand that's kind of a tune-up for the playoff of sorts, but they didn't look as sharp. I think against the Islanders the other night, they looked much better, looked much more like the team that we were used to see, but that's been less of what we've seen over the last month and a half or so. And so I don't know if there's something where you could just flip a switch. I would like to think that there is, and this team, when everything's kind of rolling, listening to Brent Johnson on with the guys the other day talking about it, feeling like if this team plays with a chip on their shoulder and plays with a little bit of an extra pizzazz, I don't know that there's a team that's better than them in hockey. But can they easily just turn that back on? I don't know that it's just as simple as playoff time, flip the switch.
The good thing I would say is, right, they got a lot of guys on this roster that have had their fair share of moments in the playoffs. And there's one guy in particular that I'm circling going, you know what? You talk about extra, you know, bouncing your step, extra pizzazz, extra physicality. Look no further than Tommy Wilson. If I need someone to come out and light a fire under this group, I think Tom Wilson is going to be the guy for them this postseason. Moving forward, though, I'm the concern for me is in net. Like, that's what is the health of Logan Thompson? Like, that to me is the risk here. Game one to me is so important, and I compare the NHL playoffs to the NBA playoffs because they both go 7 games, right? That tone-setting game one to me is so important. So I understand, like, the thought process of, well, do you let Logan get healthy for game two? No. If he's ready to go game one, put him in that game one. You need to get off to a fast start in this series.
Yeah, I understand that logic. I almost
especially
feel
with
like,
how they've been playing.
Absolutely. And I don't think there's any question that if you're asking just Capitals fans around who they feel more comfortable in net with, it's Logan Thompson over Charlie Lindgren.
Yeah.
But I think it is difficult when this guy has not played in so long to just expect him to hop back in net in game one and look like the Logan Thompson we saw for a majority of the season. So for me, I kind of think you go with Chucky game one. If you can get game one, I think it's a little bit different if you lose game one. But assuming you win game one, I would maybe try Logan Thompson in game two. The tough part here is, Linnell, you know, at some point, you're going to have to throw Logan Thompson back in net because he is the better goaltender.
Yeah.
And are you better off just maybe eating a game in games one or two by throwing him out there, and then by game three or game four, he feels like he's more locked in? The problem is, like you said, it's such an up and down. You want to set the tone in game one. What happens if Logan Thompson isn't in form in game one and you're struggling, you're giving up easier goals? It's just, I don't know that there's a right answer here. I think this is why, you know, Coach Carbs is going to have a really difficult decision to make, kind of trust whatever he's going to do. Personally, I think for game one, I'm probably rolling with Charlie Lindgren just because he's been on the ice more recently and has played.
Yeah, look, if they're going to score, if they're going to have 3-goal periods, I think it doesn't matter who's in net, right? If the offense is going to be humming the way it was for a majority of the season, then I think ultimately here in the first round, they'll be fine. But you still have your concerns. This group hasn't won a playoff series since they won the Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
So, like, to act as if the playoffs have been kind to the Capitals would be crazy here. I do think, and somebody that maybe follows this a little closer than me can correct me if I'm wrong here, this Caps team feels different than those teams of the past, meaning this group can score.
Yeah, I mean,
and like they score in bunches. And I feel like, you know, it's obviously super important to have a reliable guy in net. But if you can score 3-4 goals at a time, then I feel like you could beat anybody.
Yeah, and this is a different group, especially from the ones that you've seen since the Stanley Cup run. It's just different because, like you said, they're able to score. What the Capitals front office has done a fantastic job of, where it was looking a little bit bleak, Linnell, of what's the post-Ovi era going to look like.
Sure.
And suddenly, you lock up Chychrun. Dylan Strome looks awesome. You've locked up both goaltenders. And Ryan Leonard looks like the real deal when he's come up and played. Like, suddenly, this team looks like it's set for the future, and they're playing well right now. So they've done a really good job of that. And I think that everybody, when they're playing so well, this team reminds me a little bit of what we saw with the Commanders this year, where the sum of their parts is obviously, you know, maybe not as much as some other teams. But the way that they play together.
They love each other.
When they play their best hockey together, it's almost unstoppable. So that's the big thing, is can you get that chemistry back? They need Protas back out on the ice. He was huge this season. But if they can get out there and they play their best hockey, they're going to be tough to beat. But it's just assuming that they can flip that switch and get back to what we saw earlier in the season.
I'm glad you mentioned chemistry. It feels like it's something that isn't talked about a lot. I know this Commanders season, we talked about it a lot more because it felt like that was the driving force behind their success. 4-win team going to an NFC championship game. You can say the same about this Caps group.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, from the bands that make her dance to, I mean, all of it, there are rallying cries within that locker room. I think having, you know, veterans like Tom Wilson and Alex Ovechkin obviously make everything, you know, easier, and it mends things for you. But credit to Coach Carbs as well, man.
He is like, so good. And I don't think people have talked enough about this, that I honestly think the thing that has fueled the Capitals the most this season is what happened last year once they got into the playoffs.
Yeah.
Because they were thrilled to get there, and then they were out as quick as they got there. 4-0 sweep by the Rangers.
They earned it down the stretch to get there.
They did.
Yes.
They did. You get it, you know, for guys like Ovi, Wilson, guys that have been there before, just to get into the playoffs means nothing.
Right.
Because they've been there before. You got to win a playoff series. So I think Ovi came back more motivated. Look how hot he started the year compared to what happened last year when he started the year slow. So I think that motivated this Capitals team and really brought them together. And then you see them shoot up to be first in the Eastern Conference this year.
You mentioned Alex Ovechkin. Lights the lamp last night for 897. I wanted him to get to 900 before the season ended, but obviously a little bit of a drought as you get geared up for the postseason. If he is able to secure another Stanley Cup title, that's two in his illustrious career. You have the all-time goal-scoring record. The hell with the D.C. sports conversation. He is atop of any list in this town, as far as I'm concerned.
He's already at the top, in my opinion.
Based off of the longevity and then the goal-scoring record. If he's able to get two Stanley Cups, how much differently do we talk about him in terms of greatest athletes of all time? You know how I feel about LeBron and Tom Brady because of their success in the latter portion of their career. Alex Ovechkin fits the bill perfectly. Do we talk about him maybe being on the Mount Rushmore of greatest sports athletes ever?
Yeah, I don't know that he gets there. I'm not one that can speak great on hockey history. I know that Gretzky's still the greatest. I don't think there's any question about that. I think it helps his legacy against Crosby. You know, I saw a Pittsburgh fan.
I mean, is that really even a thing?
Well, I saw a Pittsburgh fan tweeting last night, and by the way, screw the Penguins. But, you know, it was cool seeing the moment last night where they gave him a Rolex.
I did see that. I saw that because of you.
I don't know how much, I don't know how I feel about that, because screw the Penguins for life.
Yeah.
But, you know, a Penguins fan was saying, like, Ovi is the greatest goal scorer of all time.
Yes.
There's no question. I don't care who you are, whether you're a Pens fan, whether you're a Rangers fan, it does not matter. You know that Ovi's the best goal scorer. Is he a better player than Sidney Crosby? I'm going to say yes. I'm also biased. But
well,
I think
we're
can,
certainly biased.
But
yeah,
if he can win a second cup.
That was the argument.
Yeah, why not? Like, you know, Crosby can do maybe a little bit more, but when you are the best at something, you are the best goal scorer of all time. To me, I don't even care what his legacy is because I know what he means to this city, where he is so important that growing up, hockey wasn't something that really mattered that much. But I always knew about Ovi.
Exactly.
And
that's why
people in this area didn't play hockey. And now you see little kids all over the place. You know, I know Grant's kids playing hockey, right? Like, little kids are playing hockey. That wasn't the case before Ovi. It's not like the Capitals just came into existence when Ovi got here. So I know what he means here.
I think we can call him the most transcendent athlete of in the DMV in terms of maybe history. I told the story when he broke the record. I remember I grew up in a Dallas Cowboys household. And think about how young we are. We watched the Redskins be terrible our entire life. I was told.
That changes so much of my thoughts on you, by the way.
Thank you. I'm a soldier, man. I stuck it out through and through. I was raised in a Cowboys household. I stuck it out even though we lost every other Sunday. And, you know, I was a diehard Wizard fan as well. So I was always told, now the Redskins never going to be good. The Wizards never going to be good. This is a hockey town. I said, what? What is hockey? May have been the first question that I asked. What is hockey?
Yeah.
Obviously, though, when you see those red Alex Ovechkin number 8 jerseys around town, man, it becomes something that's bigger than you. And I think as a sports fan, I couldn't call myself a sports fan if I didn't appreciate what he's been able to accomplish. That being said, they got to get back on track here.
Like, yeah, 100%.
This, going out in the first round, I feel like puts a wet blanket over how special of a season this was.
You nailed it right there. Because if they have the same cap stuff that we've seen in the past, where it's disappointment after disappointment in the playoffs, with the exception of 2018, you can't have that. This season has been so special. And if they were able to cap it off with a cup run, it'd go down as an all-timer in DC sports history, something that was maybe the most memorable of any of them. I know the Super Bowls mean more. I wasn't around for those, obviously, but I know the Super Bowls are always going to... Yeah, exactly. They're always going to be transcendent because they're Super Bowls and it's a different sport. But can you just imagine, Linnell, the craziness that we had this year where this team went from being a barely get into the playoff team to they look awesome to Ovi's looking great. Ovi's injured. He comes back, still breaks the record. They're the top seed in the Eastern Conference, and then they go on a run. I think this season has a chance to be an all-timer if it isn't already. The big part is you cannot get into the playoffs now against the Canadiens and crap the bed. You just can't.
Not something that would be acceptable for this group. Game one is Monday. Make sure you keep it locked on the Fan all afternoon long. Be caller number 9-800-636-1067 to win a pair of tickets to game one for the 2025 playoffs with the Washington Capitals Monday, April 21st versus Montreal at Cap One Arena. For tickets and more event information, visit thefandc.com. Caller number 9, the time is now. Call in to get those Caps tickets. We'll take a quick timeout. We come back, we will pivot from the ice to the construction site. Big news on RFK comes your way next on the Fan. B. Mitch and Finley here on the Fan. Linnell Willingham, Toby Altizer sitting in for the fellas. I believe Brian going to be back with you Monday, right, Toby?
That's the plan.
So there we go.
That's the plan.
Also on Monday, game one of the Stanley Cup playoffs for your Washington Capitals. You got a chance to win a pair of game one tickets today, every hour, 20 minutes past the hour until 5 o'clock. We're going to pot up our first winner of our pair of Caps tickets. Our guy Joe in Durwood, going to be at Cap One Arena Monday night. What's going on,
Joe? Let's go, Joe.
Hey, what's going on?
What's going on, brother? How are you?
Oh, I am fantastic now.
How many games did you hit this season?
What was that?
How many games were you able to hit this season?
I only went to one this season. I went to like 5 or 6 last.
Have you been to a playoff series before?
Never.
Wow,
man, it's
going
to be electric. I've never been to playoff hockey either, so I'm hoping I can find my way into Cap One. But congratulations, man. Thrilled for you.
Oh, I appreciate it. Thank you. And let's go Caps.
Let's go Caps. Our Caps coverage here on The Fan is presented by Ace Computers. Ace Computers proudly recommends Windows 11 Pro for the U.S. military, made in America. Check out acecomputers.com now. We're getting to RFK. I know me and you actually want to do a little inside radio here. Me and you as the two youngest hosts that we have here.
The youngest in charge.
Some would call it the youngest in charge. I'm not a huge stickler about the whole stadium talk, and I feel like every time the stadium conversation gets brought up, I meet it with the exact same thing. As long as they're winning football games, I don't care where they play. But my tune has kind of changed And here is why. When Josh Harris and company purchased this franchise, and you notice that there are 21 limited partners, my tune changed to, well, if they're going to get a new stadium in D.C., Maryland, or Virginia, but really when I say this, I'm talking about D.C., man, it would sure be nice if they could foot some of the bill. And I was thinking maybe 50%, maybe 60%, depending on how they're feeling. According to multiple different outlets around town here, the Commanders willing to fork up close to $2.5 billion for a new Commander Stadium, hopefully, now I'm saying hopefully because I would want it there, at the old RFK campus. I think it's so much bigger than football. And I think that's where I get, that's why I differ from others when it comes to this. Not only, first and foremost, Josh Harris, the company, have done an excellent job since coming here. They've turned around the football program. They've brought a sense of respectability to the organization. It's brilliant. But what he has the opportunity to do is not only be a guy that, you know, we cheer about and we drink beers to. Yeah, we love Josh Harris. He's the guy responsible for turning around the Redskins or the Commanders, whatever. I think with him funding this stadium project, forking up $2.5 billion, you get a chance to leave your legacy, Toby. It's about legacy at this point. You're a DMV guy. I believe he's from Bethesda. You understand, one, what this football franchise means to this tri-state area. But then put sports to the side for a second. You can be a steward of your community, a philanthropist. We know what Nats Park did to the Navy Yard area and how it, you know, resurrected the business world around here. I think RFK can have the same type of impact. My whole pushback was, well, damn, is DC really in a position to be forking out that much public money? Because at the time, I'm thinking they were going to put up over half. But now that they're being asked for, what does it seems like, $500 million, that's a far less riskier investment to have tremendous growth to me.
Yeah, so this is where I think it's interesting. So Mark Seagraves was first with a report saying that the Commanders would put up as much as $2.5 billion. The district would provide up to $850 million. They'd start with $500 million paid out between 2026 and 2030. What I think is so interesting about this is $2.5 billion for the ownership group is insane.
They got 21 limited partners. I mean,
$2.5 billion. I understand that. I'm sure they're good for it. I'm not worried about that. But $2.5 billion for the ownership group to fork out just seems like an unrealistic amount. So the question I'd have for whether it's...
I see where you're going.
Whoever it is. How committed are both sides to this? It feels like one side for sure is. I would assume that the other side is. I think that for sure Harris is committed. I think he wants to get this done.
Yeah.
I think that DC is mostly committed. But what if Josh Harris were to come back and say, $2.5 billion is too much? Can we cut this down to $1.5 billion? And suddenly, or can we go 50-50 on this joint where we're going, you know, if they're splitting just over $3 billion, it's like 1.6, 1.6 or something like that.
Yeah.
And then I'm wondering, to your point, how can D.C. justify that when some of the stuff that's going on in D.C. right now is happening? So that's where I think this is difficult. I'm a little skeptical because we've seen stadium deals. We've seen stuff in this area before.
Fall through
all the time. So, you know, the reports and everyone celebrating the other day, that's fine. I'm going to believe it when shovels hit the ground.
Yeah.
Until then, I'm not going to be fully on board.
Look at you taking the mature approach to this.
Well, I'm glad to see that they're making progress.
For sure.
But I want to know, you know, Seagraves was on with Grant and Danny the other day and said it feels like it's in the red zone. And I don't know if I fully buy that it's in the red zone. I don't necessarily think that we're, you know, still at the 50-yard line and we're taking 1 yard at a time.
But you're always in a cloud of dust is what, you're feeling right now?
That's where I'm interested is, like, are we at the 20-yard line and we're getting close to the goal line? Or are we just taking another 5-yard gain near the 50, and like every other step along the way, this still needs voting, this still needs that, and this and that, and this and that, and suddenly this thing that we think is about to cross the goal line is really not that close.
Well, if it's anything like the Commanders' red zone offense this year, we are in RFK, my boy.
Do they have Jaden Daniels on their side for this? Because if so, it's getting across.
Mayor Bowser doing her best Jaden Daniels impersonation trying to get this thing across the goal line. I think the fact that dollar figures that the team is going to put forth, the fact that that's now being discussed, I think it means it's a lot more likely. If it was just DC talking and there wasn't clear mutual interest from both sides, I would have a concern. Even before I knew the dollar amount, I had a feeling this was going to happen because it's what everyone wants. Yes. And look, me and you have been very clear on the record saying we could care less. But the old line I like to use is y'all love nostalgia, right? When you all were going to RFK with your mom and pops back in the day, you didn't have your gut that hung out over your waistline. Your hair wasn't gray. So, like, the nostalgia doesn't matter to me. To me now, what it's about is how is it going to help revitalize the community? Because it's great to be able to host Super Bowl and WrestleMania. WrestleMania this weekend, by the way, Toby. I don't know if you knew that.
I couldn't care less.
Wow. You didn't strike me as a guy that
not big on wrestling.
Anti-WWE. Says a lot about you, Toby.
It's fake. Continue.
Wow. Anywho, I just think the opportunity to revitalize the community, I think, is the most important piece here. And why I talk about legacy when it comes to Josh Harris and this ownership group. You've already, laid the foundation for the football program. Your fingerprints are all over it. Now it's about how can you help your community, and I think that is something that will be felt here forever, long after Jaden Daniels plays his final snap, long after Terry McLaurin calls it a career. That's what's most important to me, and I want to give a big attaboy, a shout-out to Josh Harris and the ownership group, man. They have done everything right since they've gotten here. And I know it's from a football standpoint, we're in love with Jaden Daniels. It's the first time in me and your lifetime that we've had a quarterback here that we know we can hang our hat on. But, like, the ownership group is kicking ass in every facet. Attendance, fan activation, the stadium. I mean, they've done a tremendous job. And I know people are upset that they're not going back to that certain name. But we're getting tweaks to the uniform this year, too. I'll be first to say it. I don't care about that stuff. I really don't.
I care
about the product on the field. The uniform thing doesn't move me because I think – and this is where we're completely on the opposite sides of the spectrum with this. I think the black uniforms are the best uniforms in the NFL. You can't stand them, I know.
Now, I think that they have made their mark and they're going to stay because the Hail Mary was in the black unis. So
I think before that we had won a game.
Yeah, I mean, remember that Atlanta stupid Thursday night game where we're all hyped up with Sam Howell and the Bears came in and spanked us? Yeah.
How can I ever forget that Thursday?
It was like a funeral because everyone was wearing black, right? So, yeah, I think those are there to stay. But give me the old uniforms. But I thought it was interesting. A caller yesterday, I don't think we were able to get to him, but a caller yesterday was saying that so much of this fan base is left living in the past. And I thought that was an interesting thing. I don't necessarily agree fully with what he's saying, but when you think about how this fan base talks, and it's understandable because so much of what's happened over the last couple of decades is forgettable. For our lifetimes, this team has been forgettable. There's a reason that the fan base doesn't look like it once did because the last couple decades were forgettable. But you got to make sure that with the RFK site, and by the way, I wanted it RFK just like everybody else does, but you got to make sure that it's not, oh man, we got to go back to the glory days, because it's not going to be RFK. It's going to be a new stadium at RFK, right? Like, it's not going to be the same. The stands aren't going to be shaken. We want Dallas. That's not going to happen. But if you can mix the two together, Joe Theismann said months ago that it's a way that you can bring the fan base together. Our age group, the never experienced RFK, we couldn't care less. Build us a new stadium. The old part of the fan base that's seen the three Super Bowls, that went to games at RFK, that has that nostalgia, I think it's a beautiful way to bring everyone together and say, here's your new stadium to our generation, and we're at RFK. So even though it's not the RFK stadium that you grew up going to, you're still going to that same area and feeling those same memories that you once did.
For all the people out there hooping and hollering about this thing, are you all going to show up to the games? Because I give Josh Harris and company credit. They have improved the fan experience at FedEx. Yet people are not showing up still. There was still major attendance issues this past year. you mentioned never being able to go back to the glory days. I agree with you partially. I do still think you can create that type of environment at RFK to where it's the place to be. It's where people want to go. I get annoyed all the time. Me and you spend a lot of time at Cap One Arena going to Wizard games. I call Wizard games, and Jeff, you'll appreciate this, the Mo Gala. No one cares about the basketball. No one cares about what's happening on the floor. It's about, can I put my best fit on? Can I walk around with the finest thing in the city? That, like, make Wizard games the move. Make Commander games the move to where it's a place that you want to be. It's where you want to hang out at. I know the tailgating thing is another
massive thing
topic of conversation quickly here, because I feel like I'm out of the loop on that. There was reporting that if they go back to the old RFK site, the parking lot tailgating, that experience that you get at FedEx, how difficult is it to replicate that at that site?
I mean, it's impossible. It really is.
You
because
can't. Okay.
So, for example, I know two stadiums that are very much like FedEx, and both cities, from what I've worked in, where in Milwaukee, Miller Park or American Family Field, where the Brewers play, is similar to FedEx Field in that it's not near anything. It's just plopped in the middle of parking lots.
Right there.
You're never going to be able to get the same amount of tailgating space anywhere you go unless you build it in that exact same spot, because it's literally all parking lots around it.
Right.
So you're always going to lose tailgating space. But if you put it at RFK, it gets really difficult, because they're saying in order to get the actual parking infrastructure that they want, you're building parking garages. You ain't tailgating in parking garages, or at least it's not going to be supposedly allowed. People, I'm sure, will still find ways, maybe without grills.
All I can think about is some drunken fan slipping.
But I think there are still ways. I went to a game at Soldier Field in Chicago. All right, it's not like there's.
Up.
I was. It was the worst football game I've ever been to. It was the Carson Wentz broke his finger or whatever.
Oh wow!
I can't remember exactly. It was the worst football game I've ever been to. Terrible. But regardless, there were people still tailgating. And they don't have parking right there. Like, it's not like it's a parking garage right there. So you'll still find ways. Now, it might be like a mile away. Yeah. So that's going to be, you know, less fun than walking directly into the stadium. But there are still places that you could probably find a tailgate.
It's going to be interesting to see Mark Seagraves of NBC4 reporting the Commanders in the city of D.C. close to a $3 billion stadium deal to get the new Commander Stadium back at the old RFK complex. We'll see if it happens. What'd you say, Toby? We'll believe it when there are shovels in the dirt.
Basically, yes.
Bingo. A lot more to get to here on 106.7 The Fan. Lynnell Willingham, Toby Altizer are sitting in for B. Mitch and Finley. Keep it locked on The Fan all day long. We're giving away a pair of Caps Game 1 tickets today every hour at 20 minutes past the hour until 5 p.m. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, talk a little bit of Seam. Nats begin a weekend series with the Rockies coming up tonight. We'll preview that next here on The Fan. Lynnell Willingham, Toby Altizer sitting in for B. Mitch and Finley here on The Fan. We'll take you up to 2 p.m. Make sure you keep it locked on The Fan all afternoon long. We're giving away Caps Game 1 tickets today every hour at 20 minutes past the hour until 5:20. Your next chance to win, 11:20. Our first winner came from Durwood. I always feel like maybe this is just me thinking the world revolves around me. Anytime we have a caller from Montgomery County and it's from the Redland, Durwood, Gaithersburg, Olney, I would assume that they know who I am.
You would be correct. That makes it seem like the world revolves around you.
100%. 100%. A lot more to get into. As we creep into the 11 o'clock hour, we're also getting to the Commanders here a little bit. We talked about the RFK stuff last segment. NFL draft 6 days away. One thing we'll talk about, what does Washington have to leave the draft with? So I'll let you simmer on that for a little bit. But we got a big weekend series coming up for your old Curly W's. I'm saying your Curly W's as you were the co-host of the Busted Loose Baseball podcast. Toby Altizer, Grant Paulson, you can get that wherever you download your podcast. The fellas aren't playing so well right now, and the bats have gone cold. Am I in 2024 right now? It's crazy, because I said at the start of the show, if you were to judge this group every two series, I think you would have, we're about to hit the 20 game mark. Today is game 20, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. Today is game 20, 7-12. Each series, you can look at them differently. The one thing that's been consistent is what we all kind of figured the Achilles heel of this team would be this year. It is the bullpen. But in some of these games, their bullpen's not getting the run support.
Yeah, I mean, there's no excuse yesterday to give up one run.
Yeah.
O'Neill Cruz hits one out of the ballpark, leadoff homer. There was no other offense for the Pirates, and you couldn't muster a run.
Yeah, it's tough.
With all due respect to Andrew Heaney, solid major league pitcher for a long time. Scoreless? 7 1/3? Come on.
Nasty.
Like, shut
nasty.
Out against the Pittsburgh Pirates. Like, it's not like Paul Skeens was on the hill and you went, you got shut out. Because I can understand that. That happens. It's just, it's unacceptable, frankly, to have these back-to-back series where you went to Miami and you lost 2 or 3. Because you're right. Like, if you were to go 2 series at a time and be like, feel good, feel bad, feel good. You felt bad about the first 2 series of the year.
Yeah.
And then Arizona and L.A. here in D.C.,
they won those two series. We're talking wild card after those 2 series.
It was insane. They look like a totally different team.
Yeah.
And so you feel like, okay, now momentum's growing. Then you go to Miami, and it's a sleepy dungeon playing there, and they didn't play with energy. They go to Pittsburgh. It's another sleepy dungeon because no one wanted to be out in the cold, and frankly, the Pirates aren't spending money either, so fans don't always show up for them outside of maybe Skeens days. And still, nothing. It's really disappointing to see this team where every single year we go in and you're hoping for something a little bit better. 71 wins the last couple of years. You're expecting them to take a step forward, and they're just not. And the bullpen, it'd be one thing if you're like, okay, there's a couple guys on the injured list, they're coming back, or they could go still pick up this guy. Linnell.
This is the group.
They got one dude coming back in Derek Law, and with all due respect to Derek Law, it's not like you're bringing back prime Mariano Rivera.
He had some good moments last year.
He's solid. He's nothing more than solid. And so you bring back one more solid arm, that's suddenly going to fix the bullpen? No, it's not. So this bullpen is going to be bad whether you're looking at it in April, May, June, July, August, or September. And so it's not going to get any better. And this offense isn't going to score enough runs on a night-to-night basis to win a lot of ball games if the bullpen gives up a 7 ERA.
So I think that's the discussion and the talking point right there. What does this offense have to show between now and July for Rizzo to make a move to bring in a bullpen arm? Because I think that's where you're kind of looking at right now. And I'll give him a little bit more grace when it comes to the offense, because obviously we've seen K-Bear hit it really well to start. James Wood, I mean, looks like the best power hitter in baseball right now. I'm probably hyperbolizing that.
But you pick up
what I'm putting down.
Sure.
He's looked amazing here to start. Dylan Cruz trying to get out of his little slump that he's
been
in.
Looked much better in Pittsburgh.
So what does the offense have to show between now and July for Rizzo to feel like that's a move worth making? Because we know he's not scared to go make trade deadline moves.
Yeah, I feel like you just got to show more consistency. This team can score some runs. I think the difficult part about this, and really the reason why I think this season was so intriguing, but also why I think you've seen it get off to a slower start than maybe you would have liked, is this season was going to go where the young guys took it.
Yeah.
Like, James 100%. Wood has been fine. But outside of him, like, Dylan Cruz has struggled. It was going to be on Dylan Cruz to get things going. Jacob Young struggled out of the gate. He's playing a little bit better now. But even so, Jacob Young isn't some dude that's going to hit 30 homers and make the most impact with his bat. So it's dependent on these young guys. The offseason acquisitions, Nate Lowe's been really good.
Yes,
I've liked what he's been able to do. But Josh Bell has provided next to nothing. Paul DeJong is now hurt, but even when he was on the field, defensively he was good. Offensively wasn't giving you enough at the plate. So it's just a difficult spot for this team to be in, where seemingly since 2019, this team has been in a free fall, and they remind me, frankly, a little bit of where the Wizards are, where everyone looks at the Wizards and go, gosh, they got to win now. And it's like, no, they don't have to win now. The issue is they were terrible, 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 and then they brought in the new front office and they finally started doing things correctly.
Yeah.
It's only been a couple of years of doing it correctly, but it's longer time frame of being bad. Whereas now for the Nationals, 2019 happened, they eventually start moving on from some of their guys, and they went down. But really, they've only started developing and getting more guys in the organization to really, really help over the last two to three years. And so it takes a little bit longer in baseball to rebuild some of these things, especially if you're not going to spend money in free agency. So it's frankly disappointing. Like, I don't think there's any other way to say it. You go to Pittsburgh, a team that doesn't score a lot of runs, and you face Skeens, and you were in that ball game, and the bullpen blew it. You beat Mitch Keller, who's a pretty good pitcher, but you lose to Bailey Falter and Andrew Heaney and look listless at the plate. It's unforgivable. To lose 2 of 3 in Miami just can't happen. going to Colorado, frankly, for me, I know it's a little bit lofty, and who knows exactly what the schedule is going to be for the series with the weather.
Yeah.
You almost have to sweep this for me to feel good about this road trip at all. You finish 5-5 if you get a sweep here. The Colorado Rockies are horrendous. They're like the only team in baseball I'd look at where the Nationals step on the field and I'd say Curly W's are better. But they've got to go out there and find a way to win some games.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. Next couple series for the Curly W's go as follows. They're back home starting Tuesday for a 3-game tilt with the Orioles. And then, struggling Juan Soto comes to town. I was listening to WFAN earlier this week. Holy cow.
Yeah, by
BT
the way.
Sal about to lose his mind.
By the way, Juan, you wouldn't hear that from WJFK if you were having this. So if you want to come back to D.C., feel free.
Call letters are better. Baseball is better. Come back to D.C., Juan Soto. First hour in the books here on the Fan. Linnell Willingham, Toby Altizer are sitting in for B. Mitch and Finley. Make sure you keep it locked on the Fan all afternoon long. We're giving away Caps Game 1 tickets today every hour at 20 minutes past the hour until 5:20. So make sure you keep it locked on the Fan. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, we'll get into the National Football League NFL draft. 6 days away, the Commanders doing extensive work on late day two and day three running backs. What is the sweet spot for the Commanders to draft a running back? That's next on the Fan.